first time? You know the first time you were there.
Humor me.
I was out on Andrew's old sloop. I'd had a bad night. At first I didn't even know it was him. Remember? I thought he was a Roman, about to ruin my life.
And what happened next?
It was at the moment when I thought my career and my reputation were about to be destroyed. Philip just said, come and see. And I did. And look, I don't know how to describe it other than he knew me before he knew me.
I was standing next to John the Baptizer.
What? Creepy John.
And he walked by, like out of nowhere. And John freaked out. He said, behold,
I'm eating a new bug.
He was just sitting there, eating lunch with all the construction workers, cracking jokes.
I was on that way to Jerusalem. I'm sorry. All of this is just, it's difficult to talk about. It reminds me of how much I miss him.
But we have to.
I know. I talk about him to others every day. But, it's difficult with all of you. It's different with all of you.
Just tell me about the first time you actually saw him.
It was in a tavern. He set his hand on mine. Which isn't what it sounds like. Maybe leave that part out. People will get confused.
I don't know yet what I will be including. I'm just writing it all down.
Good. It was the fourth morning of the third week of the month of Adar. Sometime during the second hour.
It doesn't have to be precise.
Why wouldn't it need to be precise? Mine will be precise.
My answer might not make sense.
Try me, Mother.
I can hardly remember a time when I didn't know him.
How many of you, by raise a hand, how many of you have watched The Chosen or are watching The Chosen? Raise your hands. How many of you have never seen it before and that was your first clip? Oh, so much opportunity in the room.
You are in for a treat.
All right, so start it. You can watch season one on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, look up the Angel app. It's free, completely free on all of your streaming devices, and start watching it. You will not be disappointed.
And I will say, I am a pain in the neck to watch Bible shows with because I'm very critical and I get really annoying about it. I love The Chosen.
Yeah, I don't like Christian movies.
No.
So, and it's amazing. It's incredible. And so my 242 group, we're going through it. And we just started season two. And that's where that clip comes from. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. If you have your Bible app open, hit the bottom three lines in the bottom right-hand corner. Click events, and then One Life Church should show up there at the top. We're going to be reading from John chapter 4 to help us just talk about what it means to have spiritual conversations. So we'll start in verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim that it is here at Mount Gerizim, thank you, where our ancestors worshiped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your written word. Thank you that we have it at our fingertips. Thank you, God, that it is full of you, that it is full of your Holy Spirit. And every time we open its pages, you breathe all over us and we become more and more and more like you, following in your ways. I pray that today you would give us open eyes to see what you are up to all around us. I pray that you'd give us open ears to hear your voice above all the other noise that we experience. And I pray that you would give us open hearts, courageous hearts to say yes to you. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to turn to those around you. We're going to do this a lot today, so get comfortable. All right, so turn your chairs if you need to those around you. You've got 30 seconds. What word or phrase or idea from this story grabbed your attention, or what stirred your heart as we are reading this story? So go ahead. You've got 30 seconds. Ready, set, go. That was 30 seconds. It's going to go by quick. Woo!
That's the shortest one.
That's the shortest one.
Yeah.
You're going to have more time. Don't worry. So today we're talking about spiritual conversations, and we're going to practice it. Or in the words of Daniel, we're going to be in a lab together. All right? We're going to put this into practice this morning. So I think it's important, first of all, that we define what is a spiritual conversation. Mm-hmm. Because the word spiritual, to me, is kind of nebulous. Doesn't really have much meaning. People throw it around here and there. But I think it's really important for us to have definitions. So because words are powerful, it's important for us to understand the words that we use. So What is a spiritual conversation? This is our working definition for this morning. They are conversations that turn our attention to who God is and what God is doing all around us, or what God is doing in our lives. So they are intentional conversations that are turning our attention towards God. And also, just by definition, the word spiritual means they are conversations that are full of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether we recognize that or we are aware of it or not, they are full of the work of the Holy Spirit. Our hope is that we will get better and better at being attuned to, paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing in these spiritual conversations. Now, I know that for some of us, we do this every Sunday morning. We ask, where is God at work in our lives? And I know for me, and I'm sure for many of you, there's some resistance to those moments. There's some resistance that happens inside of you, happens in your mind when we get to that, even though we do it every single Sunday. So I've asked Carrie to share what resistance she experiences when it comes to spiritual conversations. So what resistance do you experience?
Yeah, so because I experience the same resistance that some of you guys might feel. And I boiled it down to basically there are three things, three elements of resistance that I feel to having spiritual conversations. And the first one is just life. If you kind of think about it, to use an illustration from math, a coordinate plane. You've got your x-axis and your y-axis. And sometimes I feel like we live life on that x-axis where we're just like tunnel vision, this is what's happening. And all the stuff God's doing is on the y-axis. And we don't notice it. We just are looking at what is in front of us. Let me get through the week. Let me get to Friday, you know, that kind of thing. Just normal life. And then the other one, I think, is vulnerability. Once the words leave your mouth, they don't belong to you anymore. And there is this element of trust in the other person that what I'm going to say will be received and will be cared for by the person that is listening. They won't dismiss it. They won't make fun of me or say, ugh, that's dumb. You know, I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with being vulnerable and letting go of what's in here. The other one, I think, the third resistance is nobody in here, but I think we all know someone or have experienced someone that no matter what you say, you could say, I changed my shoes today, they would find a way to spiritualize it. And, you know, well, blessed are the feet that bring the good news, you know, that kind of thing. And so we don't want to be that person who over-spiritualizes everything and turns every conversation into a sermon, because who wants to talk to somebody like that? And so there's that element of kind of fear, like, I don't want to be seen as the crazy person. So, yes. Yeah, those are kind of the three that I see.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So one of the we're going to use the story of John 4 as an example of a spiritual conversation that Jesus is having with the woman at the well. And then we're going to practice what we see happening in this story. So the first thing that I see happening in this story is that this woman at the well has a life-altering interaction with the person of Jesus. As far as we know, this is the first time that she's ever met this person named Jesus. And it changes everything. It changes everything. And so these conversations that we're having, these conversations that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are full of the work of God, that are full of the presence of Jesus, they have a way of shifting our lives. And so what I want to do is we saw this in The Chosen. That's season 2, episode 1. It starts with the disciples sitting down with John and sharing about the first time that they met Jesus, their first interaction with Jesus. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes here in just a second to share a story about a time in your life when you've had a life-altering interaction with the person of Jesus. And that could have been last week, that could have been last month, it could have been a year ago, or it can be the first time you ever said yes to Jesus. And I want you to describe it with where were you? What were the smells? Who was around you? All of those things. But while you think about that, I want to give you some time to think about that story. I'm going to ask Carrie to go first. So, Carrie, can you tell us a story when you had a life-altering interaction with the person of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can relate, not that I gave birth to Jesus, but I can relate to Mary in this.
That would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy because that was like 2000 years before I was born. Anyway, but there wasn't a time I didn't know Jesus. I was in church from the time I was a couple weeks old and never, ever, ever had a time I wasn't in church. And I was instructed in the faith growing up, and I knew what I believed, and I could tell you book, chapter, and verse, and but it was all up here. And so my story kind of comes with, it was the summer before I was a senior in high school, and our youth group would always go to something called King's Fest, and it was, Kara Wins does it too. This was at King's Dominion. It's basically Christian Woodstock. Like 3 days of Christian concerts. It was awesome. But while I was there, I didn't often get to experience other Christians. And I was there and I saw all these booths of all these different ministries that were happening. And I saw women participating in these ministries and talking about what they were doing and talking about these colleges. And for the first time, I was like, I'm tired of it just being up here. And I'm tired of not feeling anything. And in the van, the church van, you said, talk about everything that you're experiencing. Back in the church van.
Ooh, the smell.
The smell. You don't want to know what the smell of a church van was. Sweat and Axe body spray. But I was in the back of the church van after the concerts that night, and it was the song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, by U2, came on the radio in the church van, because we listen to secular radio. And there's a line in that song, and it says, you broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And when I heard that line, I broke down in the back of the church van. And I pulled out a notebook, and I just started writing to God. And I was like, I'm done being put on a shelf. I am done with it all just being up here. Use me, God. I'm ready. Like, I want to do something. I want to be in ministry in some aspect. And I think that was the first time where I was like, it's not just a book to me. It is something I want to spend my life doing.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right, friends, you have 6 minutes to share. I would say no larger than 3 people so that everyone has a chance to share. All right, ready, set, go.
love this. You guys are still talking. This is fantastic. So you're going to have another opportunity in a few minutes. So there are several different kinds of interactions with Jesus, these spiritual moments with Jesus. And we all have the life-altering ones. There's the big ones. And you hear the stories, like in The Chosen, of the time that they had these life-altering interactions with Jesus. But not every interaction with Jesus was completely life-altering. Jesus walked with his disciples. He walked with his friends. He taught people about everyday things, about seeing God in everyday things. Like when he was talking to the woman at the well, he used water because that's what they were looking at. When he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he used birds because birds were probably flying right above them. He used flowers because they were right there. He talked about farming because they were farmers. And so Jesus had an aim to guide people's attention to the things of the everyday. And to see the moments where God is working in the everyday. I kind of, going back to that coordinate plane illustration, those moments where the y-axis intersects with the x-axis, that's that point that grabs your attention and you start to see, where is God working in that everyday moment where I see where God just grabbed my attention, those, you're going to call them speed bumps in
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah. 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 So what comes to mind is something that we at One Life called Kairos moments.
Yeah.
And so we see Kairos, the Kairos moments are these moments where God uses, and Jesus used in throughout his ministry, these everyday things. So whether it was a well, if it's water, if it's farming, if it's seeds, if it's fish, mm-hmm. if it's birds, flowers, all kinds of things. Yeah. He would use these everyday things as a way to turn people's attention to what God is up to. Well, this word kairos is actually a Greek word, and we see it in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus is preaching the good news, and it says, the time, this is Jesus speaking, the time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. And that word for time is the word kairos. In the Greek language, there are two words for time. There's one word that refers to the time on your wristwatch or on your phone or the clock in your bedroom. And then there's the word kairos that doesn't refer to time on your wristwatch, but instead it refers to a moment in time that is full of opportunity. Some theologians say it is pregnant with opportunity for God to come into the world, to collide with our everyday lives. And what we see in the life of Jesus, what we see in these conversations that Jesus has, is he uses everyday things to turn people's attention to who God is and what God is doing. They're like speed bumps. There are small speed bumps that you can go over at 50 and just kind of hover over them, and they may not get your attention. Then there are the speed bumps. There are speed bumps at UNC Charlotte that if you go over them any faster than 5 miles an hour, it's going to ruin the bottom of your car. You might catch flight going over them if you've ever experienced one of these speed bumps. And so this is how life is. There are small speed bumps, and then there are large speed bumps. There are things, just conversations, everyday conversations that we have with our spouse or our kids or our neighbors, our parents. Everyday conversations that we have with our friends, they're little speed bumps. They're big speed bumps, times whenever we've experienced great loss, getting married, having kids, starting a new career, moving into a new house or a new apartment. There are big things that happen. But in all of these things, what Jesus is doing in these conversations and what God continues to do in our lives is to use these everyday things to grab our attention and to invite us in. And so what we want to do is we want to give you some time to tell a story of an everyday thing that happened in your life this past week. It can be anything. Don't over-spiritualize it. You don't need to wrap it in a God bow, okay? Anything that grabbed your attention this week, that stands out in your memory from this past week, tell that story. Now, what we want to do in relationship with one another is we want to practice curiosity. Mm-hmm. And what that looks like is, and what we see in the life of Jesus, is that as someone is sharing about an everyday thing, we're listening, we're making eye contact, we're leaning in, and we're being curious, and we ask a question like this: what do you think God is doing here? Because remember, God is always at work. God is always present. He is doing something in these everyday, mundane conversations. And we can give each other permission to start asking, what do you think God's doing right there? What's God teaching you about who he is? What's God inviting you into? And so as you share this story, the other people in the group, I want to encourage you to lean in and ask that question. Now, it's going to be hard because you've already got that in your mind and you're already trying to like turn it towards a God thing. But I want you to do your best just to tell an everyday story and allow the other people in your group to ask that question. So Carrie, I'm going to let you go first so that they Absolutely. Have time to think of their story. What's a story from this past week that Sure. happened?
Now, before I share it, I got called out in backstage because I've had time to practice this. I knew this was coming. The story's still real, 100% true. All right. So I used to run a lot, and I've done a half marathon. I've done lots of 5Ks. I loved to run. Well, I got out of it for a long time, and I decided this year I'm going to start running again. And so I started training for a 5K, and I noticed that as I would run, my legs would start hurting, like, really bad. And it didn't loosen up, and they just got tighter and tighter and tighter. And I was like, something is wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. I could barely run. And so I decided this past week to go to physical therapy and have a physical therapist look at my legs and tell me, like, what did you break? Because something is very wrong. And so she examined me. And she was asking some questions. She's like, have you had any injuries, any surgeries? And I said, well, yeah, several years ago, I had to have full ankle reconstruction surgery because I have sprained my ankle so many times. I would just like fall over where I was. It was wild. And so she's like, okay. And I said, and I never did physical therapy after the surgery, FYI. Just didn't have time for that. So she examined me. She watched me run. She videoed me running. And then at the end of the exam, she said, okay, here's what I found. There's nothing wrong with you. She said, your muscles are great. They're the right length. They're stretching. They're good. Your ankle is strong and your ankle is fine. It is healed. And she said, but here's what I noticed when you run. You are running as if you are still injured because you never did the therapy after your surgery. She said, your brain never made the connection that I've been healed and it's not trusting what the doctor did to fix your ankle. So it was throwing off everything and putting me in severe pain completely unnecessarily.
Great story.
Yeah.
Physical therapy is good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I am now in physical therapy. We're fixing it.
So let me ask you, what do you think God is teaching you in this situation about either who he is or who you are in light mm-hmm. of who he is?
So that moment really did grab my attention. And I like mulled over it for several days. Like, why is my body not trusting that I was healed? And I was like, how many other places in my life do I not trust that I've been healed? That I'm still carrying some wounds, I'm still carrying hurts and past trauma that I've not trusted that God has forgiven me, God has worked in that situation, God has brought healing, and I'm still behaving as if I am wounded. And it really got me thinking about where those places are this week.
Good, mm-hmm. good. You have 6 minutes, my friends, to share a story and be curious. Ready, set, go.
Thank you.
So, these kinds of conversations are happening all of the time. They happen when you get home from work and you're sharing about your day. They're happening in the car as you drive along and your kids are sharing about their day at school. They're happening when you hang out with friends and you're talking about the things that have happened in the past week. They happen all the time. And what we want to offer to you is that these spiritual conversations are not reserved just for Sunday mornings when we gather together as the church, but they are taking place all the time. The question is, are we awake to them? Are we aware of what God is doing and how they are full of the Holy Spirit and the work that God wants to do in our lives? And so it's our prayer that this week that you will practice this, that you'll lean in, that you'll give each other permission. I think that's probably a big thing is in your marriages, in your friendships, give each other permission to lean in and say, what do you think God's doing right there? And that's not over-spiritualizing it. That's just you guys have made an agreement that we believe God is doing something and we need somebody to ask the question. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Now, what we also want to say is this is not a talk on evangelism. This isn't like, how do we share the gospel? And at the same time, it kind of is. Because something crazy happens in this story of the woman at the well. When you get down to verse 39, she's had this spiritual conversation with Jesus. And then in verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. This woman has a life-altering interaction with the person of Jesus. She can't keep that to herself. She takes that back to her village, to her people, and she starts sharing about this conversation. Now remember, these are people that are hostile towards the kind of person that Jesus is. Samaritans and Jewish people hated each other. They despised each other, but she couldn't keep it to herself. I hear a lot, well, people are hostile towards the gospel. I don't know if I can talk about it where I work. This woman's a great example, my friends. She just started having the conversation. I would also offer this. I believe that every human being has a desire inside of them to have these conversations. I think people are tired of living on the surface. I believe that people are hurting and lonely and isolated. They don't have anyone to talk to. This is the place the church steps in. You lean in and you start asking questions. You start being curious about where people are and what God is doing in them and among them. And so we want to encourage you to be on the lookout. Pray that God would create opportunities with your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your kids' friends. Pray that God would open those doors, to open those opportunities for you to have these kind of conversations with people that have not said yes to Jesus yet. All right, friends, you're going to have one more conversation, and that is this. What has God stirred up inside of you this morning? And then what's your action step for this upcoming week? You've got a couple minutes to have that conversation, then we'll receive the benediction as we close out our time together. Go. If you would, extend your hands. Abba, Father, we are created in your image. We believe that you meet us with love right where we are. Our value and our worth come from being your beloved people. Jesus, your kingdom is here among us, and we surrender our whole selves to your way because your way is always the best way. Jesus, do what you may, when you may, and how you may. Holy Spirit, you dwell in us and you go with us from this place, inviting us to participate with your work of making much of Jesus so that all people will be drawn to him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we have the courage to say yes to the way, the words, and the works of Jesus in everything that we do. Amen. 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 Grace and peace, my friends.